From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in every American community, but especially our urban centers like Rochester. I want you to think of a young man, still a boy technically, 15 years old, but a young man. He's experienced trauma. He's seen violence at home and at school, has never met his father, and he's in a fork in the road of his life. What is going to help him make good choices, to stay in school, to look for a job eventually, to help his family? One way to help is mentorship. And the question is, can he find a mentor? Who will do the work? According to new research for the Corporation for National and Community Service, 44 million American adults who are not currently mentoring a young person say they would like to do it. So what is preventing so many of us from actually becoming mentors? An upcoming event is called the Young Men Symposium, No Excuses. It's a chance to grow the ranks of mentors, especially male mentors, and connect mentors to young people who need the most help. And our guests are involved with the event. They've got a range of ideas and experiences about mentoring and the challenge faced by young men. Let's go ahead and say hello to the group now. Melvin Cross is pastor at Glory House International. Pastor Mel, they call.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Mel?
That's it.
It's great to have you here. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Corey Johnson, who is the founder of Rock City 48. Corey, welcome. What is Rock City 48?
Rock City 48 is a mentoring program for young men, giving them the encouragement and hope they need to really push forward and become the men that we need them to become in this society.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. It's nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
A couple of young men with us as well here. Hello to Nasmir Johnson, who's a senior at the School of the Arts with a focus on creative writing. Nasmir, welcome to you.
Hello.
And Jose Melendez is an eighth grade student at Leadership Academy for Young Men. Jose, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Hi.
And also with us is Rashad Smith, who's a public relations freelancer for small businesses and entrepreneurs. Nice to have you back in studio, Rashad. Thanks
nice
for being here.
Nice to be here, Evan. Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to start with Pastor Mel and Corey, and I want you to kind of give us a sense for what you are hoping to accomplish with this event that is coming up, and we'll tell you in a moment exactly when and where you can get involved with the first annual Young Men Symposium. But let's start with the broad goals. Pastor Mel, how do you see it?
So this symposium is going to be, it's really a game changer, especially in our city. We feel that our young men in the Rochester community, especially in the inner city, they are in dire straits. They are in need of examples and role models. And so one of the upfront goals is for us to put men that have experienced what they've experienced, but they are on the other side of it. So to really show these young men that this is only a moment in time of your life. If you have proper role models, if you make good decisions, that there is another side to the struggle. And so good decisions, good role models, wise advice that we're giving to these young men, because let's be truthful, let's be honest, we've all been where they are in one situation or another. So we want to show them how we've navigated through these situations. So we're really having a shared experience.
Yes.
Like, this is your experience, this has been our experience, but this is how we've made it to the other side of that.
May 5th is the event that is coming up in two Saturdays from now. So the first annual Young Men Symposium, No Excuses, is on Saturday, May 5th from 9 to 3 at Edison Tech. It's free for young men in high school. And Corey, who do you want to see come out this? What, ideally, if this event is successful, who attends and what comes out of it?
Who attends? Every young man in Monroe County attends and participates and really walks away with a better understanding of who they are, really understanding and getting the hope that they need to push forward. You know, right now, that's what a lot of our young men need. They need that hope and that encouragement. You know, it was hope that had a person like Dr. Martin Luther King become the man that he is today. It was hope that made people like Detroit Red become Malcolm X. You know, so a lot of our young men today, and as Pastor Mel said, are in dire straits. So what I would like to see is every young man who needs encouragement, who needs someone to stand on their side, to walk the walk with them and really be in the and fill the gap for them. Those are the young men I need to be there. I need every male in this city. And you don't have to be perfect, because we're not. We're all not perfect. But having a male that, so our young men can see that the adult males in this community are willing to stand up for them.
All right, so in terms of the young people you want to see come out, age what to what? What's it really aimed at?
Well, we were really aimed at that 9th through 12th grade. But what started happening was, you know, we have young men who and parents who heard about this and said, listen, my son is 14. Is there any way that he can come because he needs this? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And with everything that happened a couple months back with Trayvon Rowe, you know, it really had us really thinking and putting a face to these 14 and 13-year-olds who are out here in this world, you know, still trying to navigate and mm-hmm. figure out who they are as young males.
Yeah.
So right now, as of right now, and I'm saying this, and we are, young men can be as young as 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. So right now we have at least 150 young men registered.
Yes.
For this symposium. So we have from middle school all the way through high school. And the reason being, we're finding out, I was a teacher in the school district for 10 years, that young men are experiencing where back in the 80s and the 90s, it took us a little longer to experience these things. These guys are experiencing them way earlier. So they need that voice of direction, that voice of reason, just that voice of counsel to say, hey, man, you know, you might want to consider this. You might want to go in this direction because right. we've been there. And so this is one reason why we wanted to even extend it to the middle school students so yes. that they can know, or if we get them earlier, they can have that direction and that guidance even throughout high school.
And so if you want to get more information, you want to register, what's the easiest way to do it? What should people do here?
The easiest way to register, they can go directly to www.rockcity48.com. Again, that's www.rockcity48.com. Or they can call directly at 585-420-8569.
Okay, so there you go, and if you want to get registered. So this is 9 to 3. It's kind of a one-day, just six-hour event to reach these young men. Mm-hmm. And again, I said technically boys, but really young men yeah. who are looking at the world yes. and looking at their futures, a one-day chance to do that. I also want to ask you if you want to see more people in our community put their hand up and say, I'm going to become a mentor on a regular basis. I'm going to do something to change it. Pastor Mel, yes. what do you think?
I think that is definitely a need in our community, especially in our Rochester community. But I found out that one of the barriers to mentorship is a lot of people say, I want to, but I don't have the time. We live in a society, people have, you know, they're doing a ton of things all at once. We have families, we have professions, we have careers, yes. the extracurricular activities. But one thing that we're learning is that mentorship, an hour can
Absolutely.
Go a long way in yes. the lives of these boys. And so one thing that the motto that I've taken on is just lifestyle mentorship. Yeah, hey, if I'm going somewhere and call up one of the guys, hey, come ride with me. That car ride alone, you can have so much conversation.
Yes.
You can give so much clarity. You can have a great connection in that car ride alone. And so just to have, if we had like a host, a community of mentors, people pouring back into the lives of these young boys, that can make a drastic change in our school district and in the streets of Rochester. If we had people that were committed to just spending a car ride with these boys or
yes.
sitting at Applebee's or sitting somewhere in a coffee house having just basic conversation yes. with these young men.
It's a really remarkable panel we have this hour. And listeners, I want to hear from you. Number one, when you were growing up, did you have a mentor? Did you find yourself at a fork in the road in your life? Was there someone who sort of played that role for you? And number two, have you thought about doing that kind of work yourself? But as the pastor just mentioned, so many people, and you read these surveys, this set of new research for the Corporation for National Community Service finds exactly what the pastor's talking about. A lot of people say, I would consider doing it. I'd like to do it. But they think, I can't get time off from work. Most mentors still work full time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to let somebody down. If I'm not an expert on something, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Where do I get the guidance for? And so people kind of throw up their own barriers before they decide to do it. But I think this hour what we're hearing is the need is there. We'd love to hear from our audience on this. 844-295-TALK. It's toll free. 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. And in a moment, you're going to hear the students who are here talk about their views on mentoring, not just this event, but, you know, sort of how they look at their lives and the importance of those kind of role models and the people helping them out. Corey, for you, I know there's some aspects of this that are personal. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you've been through and why you look at the importance of mentorship the way you do.
For me, you know, I grew up and I dealt with a lot. I grew up in a household where I dealt with physical, emotional abuse, and I really never had a strong person to guide me and say, you know what, don't do that. Maybe make a change here. So a lot of what I learned directly from the community. And that's what started to guide and shape who I was as a young man. And growing up, and then you start seeing the adult males in the community who were really pushing me and saying, you know what, you're smart. Why aren't you taking advantage of that? You're good at this. Why aren't you taking advantage of that? And really started to pour into me that started to change my insight on how I looked in it and how I viewed life. And once those people really stepped in the gap for me and I started to realize what I was actually capable of, but knowing that someone had my back, that I wasn't out there alone, I think that was, as Pastor Mel said earlier, that was the game changer for me.
Was there any one singular person who you think of in that role? Was it more than one person?
Oh, it was more than one person. I've had multiple mentors because I think, you know, during the course of your life, you're not just going to have that one person. Sometimes that person isn't even older than you. I have mentors now, and I'm an adult male with children, married, and I have a mentor now. Pastor Mel is one of my mentors. I look up to him. I look for his guidance. I trust him. So it just doesn't mean that, you know, you have to have one mentor, because each person, there's different seasons that you're going to go through in your life. And there are different people who are going to come in your life when you need them to come in. You just have to be open and aware of who they are and what they're trying to bring to you.
And Corey, you said that, you know, you go through a lot growing up, and you have people in your life kind of grabbing you saying, look, you're smart. You've got gifts here. You've got a great opportunity for a future. Have you thought much about the different paths your life could have taken?
Oh, absolutely. I think growing up, I was the product of group homes. I was the product of Job Corps. So I went through a lot of different things before I even got to the point of really realizing what I was capable of. And it took me a long time to get there, but once I got there, I never looked back. I never used it as a crutch, thus the name No Excuses. I made no excuses on what happened to me growing up to define who I was as a man today.
And have you also thought about what it means that people in your position have to really kind of get a hold of this idea within themselves that I can be, you know, I can be smart, I can, you know, really use those gifts? That is there a stigma sometimes with getting really great grades, with being smart? You know, every school sort of stratifies in different directions. Is there a stigma?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of young men, I've been working with young men now in this community well over 15 years. And one of the things that I always stress to young men that I work with is, I'm not asking you to be the best. I'm not asking you to be a straight A student. I'm not asking you to be the top of your class. You know, I just want you to do your best. If that means that you are a C student, then be the best C student that you can possibly be. And we'll work through the rest together. But I always, one of my biggest things is to let them know that you are never alone in what you're going through. That there are people out there who actually care about you, who are willing to push for you if you're open to it.
Pastor Mel is someone who, no surprise in hearing him talk, he's, as he said, taught at the Rochester City School District. He's a role model for Mayor Warren's annual Distinguished Gentleman Program. I could keep reading their list of accolades. You want me to do that?
No, you don't have to.
Okay, because I could, and for good reason. And when young people, probably the people sitting in this room, but also people you meet all the time in your work, meet you, you exude a comfort with who you are, confidence. It takes a long time to get to that point in life for most of us.
Definitely.
Until you feel that.
Yeah.
How do you help young people go in a direction where they can feel that confidence in who they are, not have to feel like they're trying to impress a group, impress somebody else, to have that inner comfort with who they are?
Yeah, I just actually had this conversation last night with one of my guys, and I told him, you have to really embrace who you are and embrace where you are. Because where you are is the season or the place you're supposed to be at this time and in this moment. And don't look for promotion or for the next season until you really maximize and get everything you need out of your current situation.
Correct.
Whether it's a good situation or a bad situation, we can take something from it all. And so the journey that we're on in life, we're different. Who I am now, I was not this guy 10, 15, 20 years ago. But it took a lot of trial and error for me to become comfortable with who I was. My skill, my talent, my weaknesses, my strengths. It took me a long time to be able to embrace that. And oftentimes we only talk about embracing our strengths, but your weaknesses play a huge part in who you become. And so I think these young guys need to realize that their weaknesses doesn't discount them. It just gives them a specific uniqueness to continue to develop who they are. So if we have a weakness, I tell them, focus on that weakness and try to make it a strength. If you can't make it a strength, I always tell people I staff my weaknesses. If I'm weak in a certain area and I know Corey's better in that area, I'll say, hey, come on, I need you around me right now because I know I'm not strong in this area, so I need you to be strong with me. And this is where mentorship and community comes into play. Where the comfort in who I am, where it comes into the place where I know I'm not on this walk by myself. So I'm good at what I'm good at, but what I'm not good at, I have somebody else who's better than me. And I'm okay with depending and relying on other individuals to help me in the area of my weakness. And so that's where even mentorship comes in. Like what Corey was saying, it's not a prerequisite for them to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. That goes without saying. If you keep living life, you're going to figure out you're not perfect. Sometimes when we wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, we realize we're not perfect. You know what I mean? But what we do request is that you take whatever you have, whatever skills you have, and you give it your best. Yes. I'm working on a doctorate degree right now. One thing that I love is that in my previous degrees, they don't have my GPA on it. It didn't say that you are a straight A student. The only thing it says, you've received your bachelor's in whatever. You've received your master's. That's how life is. Your grade, your GPA does not follow you. The only thing that people want to know is that you've succeeded and you've accomplished what you set out to do. And so we want to let these kids and these boys know that, hey, you might not be the best, but you give it your all. Because at the end of the day, we just want to know that you've accomplished what was set before you.
Yes.
All right, let me turn to Nasmir Johnson, who's a senior at the School of the Arts. How do you like the School of the Arts?
I love it. Honestly,
do me a favor, get right close to your microphone so I can hear you start.
I love it, honestly. Yeah? It's really nice.
And for you, tell me a little bit about what mentorship means to you, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this event coming up here. But what does it mean to you when you hear the word mentorship?
To me, mentoring is important not only because of the knowledge, skills, and attributes associated with mentorship, but also because it provides, you know, professional socialization and personal support skills in and out of school.
And for you, is there a single person you look to in your life for that sort of help, that guidance, that mentorship?
I wouldn't say I have a single person to support me through all of my endeavors in life because, like Mr. Johnson was saying earlier, there are different people for different seasons. For example, my creative writing teacher, Marcy Gamzin, she's also my speech and debate teacher. She's helped me through a lot of things. I have Rashad Smith. He's helped me with a lot of things. So there's different people, I believe, that help me with different things.
Okay. And when you think about the different paths your own life could take, I mean, everybody could make different choices at times. How are you making sure that you're sort of focused on what you really want for yourself, that you're not feeling pressure to kind of go outside of that to make bad choices?
Sometimes when I reflect on my choices, every time when I wake up, I have a list on my iPhone about what I wanted to accomplish for the day, whether it be general, like make sure I achieve something at least. Sometimes something that really helps me throughout my days is I think of something my mother tells me. She always says, seize the day. So I can never sit around, I can never lie down and not do anything because I always think of my future because that's been instilled for me since I was a young man. So it's something really important to me that I stay on task and what I have to do.
Are you tight with your mom?
I'm very tight. Yeah. I'm very tight with my mom.
You laugh. You probably laugh because you think, of course, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, and growing up without a father in my life, I have to be close to my mother because if it's not her, I literally have nobody else. My sister, she's about 26. She lives in Phoenix. She has her own life. As far as family goes, like all my cousins, all my other family members, they live in different states. So honestly, it is me and my mother, and our relationship is very close because we realize that we both only have each other. So whether it be a mentorship from her to me or either, you know, from me to her too, because everybody knows different things. So we always try to teach each other things.
Nas, what I want to do is I want to kind of follow up on some of the points you just made. And I don't want to make you uncomfortable or get too personal, but I just want to talk to you a little bit because they brought you here because they're very impressed with you. That's obvious here. You know, there's a lot of guys in the city of Rochester and a lot of American communities who grew up without a dad at home. Number one, do you have resentment about that? Do you not think about that much anymore? Does that come to your mind a lot?
Earlier in my life, I used to despise my father. I used to, you know, be mad sometimes. I would wake up and think about it like, why isn't he here? But one thing that I notice about the absence of my father is that it pushes me to be somebody that he wasn't, whether it be in my future life, for my kids, for people around me. I want to be a better example for children, for people growing up, because it's not something I had. So I had to develop it through myself and through previous mentors. So it's kind of something I think about all the time, actually, because I never want to be an example of somebody who isn't there for people that need them.
And to stick with the theme, I wonder if you feel like, you know what, my dad has never been there in my life, but no excuses. You know?
No excuses.
You feel that way?
I feel that 100%.
Now, how do you feel about the question that some of our listeners may have in regards to, does mentorship mean it's got to be male with a male? You know, can you have female mentors? Is it important to have that male guidance? You know, how do you feel about sort of
although it is important to have male mentorship,
yeah,
it's not the most important sometimes. Sometimes you need to see life from different perspectives. Again, that's why I'm glad I'm very close to my mother, because she always keeps it real with me. She always, you know, shows me what's right from what's wrong. And regardless of if it's male or not, mentorship in itself is very important for the development of children.
You're a senior at School of the Arts?
Yes.
Going to graduate?
Yes.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to SAE Institute in New York for audio engineering.
Amazing. You're on your way, aren't you? Is your mother proud of you?
I believe so. I know it.
Well, it's okay to say yes, because I think everyone around this table is feeling a lot of pride for you. So I appreciate you sharing these stories, because I know in one way, you know, you probably wish you grew up with a dad at home, but look at you. You're working really hard. And I look over at Corey, and I wonder how you feel about, you know, someone like Nazmir, who's doing the amazing things that he's doing, yes, and has learned these hard lessons.
Yes.
But, you know, there are some kids who become young men who really struggle with that lack of a male figure.
Oh, absolutely. And that's probably 50 to 60% of our young men in this community. And this is what they see, if not more. And I may be lowering that percentage, but this is what they go through on a regular basis. This is what I went through. And I had that resentment, like Nazmir, at one point, when in regards to my father and other males in my family that I felt should have stepped up and been there for me. But as he just stated, no excuses. Can't use that stuff as a crutch.
What would you say, Corey, if I had a 17-year-old who was sitting here who said, look, don't tell me no excuses. My life has been hard. It's been harder than a lot of people in different circumstances, and, you know, people who haven't gone through what I've gone through wouldn't know. So no excuses doesn't sound like it's fair. What would you say to that?
Well, I just had a young man, without saying his name, that we just had this exact same conversation. Mm-hmm. And what I had to share with him, because sometimes you have to show people your reality. And one thing I had to do for this young man was actually share my own testimony and let him see, this is where I came from. I didn't grow up in a household where everything went great. It wasn't the Huxtables, it wasn't Family Man, it wasn't one of those TV shows. We struggled, I struggled, and this is who I am today. And then I just listened to him. Why do you feel the way that you do? And we have to listen to the young adults in this community, because they want to be heard. So once I listen to him and I understand where he's coming from and what he's going through, I don't sit and pretend like, yeah, I know exactly what you're going through, because a lot of instances we don't. A lot of times we don't know exactly what they're going through, but we listen to it and we try to understand where they're coming from. And then we try to open up different doors for them to say, this is a direction you can go through. Here's another door. And if I'm not the one, because here's the thing, we can't mentor everyone. We're not meant to. But I may not be able to mentor him, but Pastor Mel, you know what?
Quality. Because inequality is a big problem.
It's a reality.
It is a reality. Yes. And that's what, but within communities that have been most affected by inequality, you still have these amazing people like Pastor Mel and Corey Johnson, founder of Rock City 48, who are saying, we are going to reach out particularly to everybody, but particularly to teenage guys who are at that fork in the road, and we're going to pull them forward. We're going to find a way, even though the rest of society hasn't fixed itself. And so that work is going on within a society that is still unequal,
yes,
and has to have greater changes. But you don't want to let young students have this idea that it's impossible for me. You want to tell them, Pastor Mel, it's still possible.
It still is possible. So within the community where there's so much disparity, there's a lot of negative things happening, there are stories and there are plenty of young people and families that are actually taking their plight and they're turning it into a profit.
Yes.
So our pain does not, it doesn't discount us, but we take that pain and we use it as energy to come out on the other side and to use our story as the success story. And so I would say to society, to our community, to our city, to our nation, yes, you hear about the horrible stories. Yes, you hear about the disparities, but we, even within those disparities, there are people that become resilient because of the disparity.
Yes.
You know, one thing that I've learned in just growing up and maturing in my profession, that sometimes lack requires me to be very creative. When I don't have the resources to do what other people do, I just have to get very creative and I have to build up a tolerance and a patience to see my outcome. And so that's how it is in our community. The disparity or the lack, it requires and it makes us very creative, and we come up with some amazing things that gets us through to, and it gets us to the place that we want to be. And our young people, like I said, teaching in the district, I've seen young people in some of the worst of situations, and I see them in school every day. Whereas if it was me, I'd be like, man, I don't know if I could come to school every day going through what you've been through. But they've used that negativity as energy to come out, and they say, you know, I want to make sure that I am the example for my family. I want to make sure that where my mom is, I won't be the same place when I'm her age. So, yeah, the disparity is real. And the inequality is real. But guess what? For some of us, we have learned to really forge through that. And this is why this symposium is so important. We have to teach these young men how to take something that is negative, something that is unfair, something that has the ability to literally destroy your life, and you got to turn it around and utilize that as energy for your future.
In a moment, you're going to hear Jose Melendez's story. He's an eighth grade student at Leadership Academy for Young Men. Our guest this hour, you're hearing Pastor Mel Cross, pastor at Glory House International, Corey Johnson, founder of Rock City 48. You heard Nasmir Johnson's story, a senior at School of the Arts. Rashad Smith is here, a public relations freelancer for small businesses and entrepreneurs who is just having a good time listening to all these amazing stories this hour. And I say amazing. I mean, it's a lot of hard work and it can be very difficult. And we're talking about something that's very important to this community, which is mentorship, which is reaching out to young men and helping them in their lives, no matter the circumstances. And before I take our first phone call, I want to, I'm going to go ahead and ask Corey Johnson to tell you again, two Saturdays from now, what's coming up, what you want people to know.
Two Saturdays from now, on May 5th, No Excuses, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be held right at Edison Tech. It's going to be an amazing event for young men, workshops, mentorship. It's a very free event for all young men in this community.
Okay, free for young men in this community, two Saturdays from now, May 5th, 9 to 3. Do you need to register in advance?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So young men, parents, you can go directly to www.rockcity48.com and you can register. We just need a little bit of information and you will be all set to attend this free event.
All right, very good. Let me grab Rich in Rochester on the phone. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, how you doing? It's a really good conversation. My concern always is how do we structurally get this into the communities? And it has to be structurally, because we do hear the stories, the exceptional stories, like these young men, and it's great. But the problem is that they are the exceptions. And how do we, my struggle is, how do we build into it structurally where this starts at the age of 3, 4, 5 and follow these young men instead of trying to save them in 7th or 8th grade.
Well, so Rich, stay there, because this is a big, important part of the conversation. There's a couple things there. First of all, you heard Pastor Mel say earlier that, you know, certainly when he was growing up, some of the trauma was more likely to happen a little bit older ages, and now they're recognizing it's happening and putting people at risk earlier. And that's why, instead of being maybe 15 through 18 years old, this conference starts at age 13, and they're really thinking about people who are younger. I mean, I take the point that it could impact people younger than that, and I'll let them speak on that in a moment, but they're already moving the age younger for that reason. There's also a conversation. Let me make one other point, Rich, and then I'll let you kick it back to the people who are organizing this event. But you bring up something important when you talk about the exception versus the rule. I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a friend of mine who is politically conservative, and he said, you know, I used to think that when you had these success stories, these up by your own bootstrap success stories, I would point to those, and he was being very honest with me. He said, I would point to those and say, see, if they can do it, anybody can. We have an equal society. No excuses, to borrow a phrase. But what he said to me was, if they can do it, great. But it takes so much more for them to find success than it does for people in privilege, and that must change because it will still be the exception versus the rule. And people in privilege shouldn't look at Anas Mir, they shouldn't look at Jose Melendez, they shouldn't meet these folks and say, well, if they can do it, anybody can do it, nothing needs to change. That would be a problem. So I think it's work for everybody to look at this. So if you want to add to that, Rich, go ahead, and then I'll let the guests respond.
I think what you're saying is the point in my discussions with people is there is the tendency to make the exception the rule, and I think that makes it easy for them. It's very easy to say, well, see, Joe Schmo did it, why can't you? And kudos to your conservative friend who's finally recognizing that the efforts that it takes for that person, be it minority or not, that's coming out of a very tough, poor, dysfunctional situation, they have to first get to a level of norm before they start to even excel within themselves. So there's so much going on that has to be uncovered. And I'm glad, like you said, they're pushing this age down. But the age is, as a society and as a black man, I think that age does have to be pushed down because so much of this stuff is happening to these young men. Unfortunately, sometimes even before they're born, be it whatever their parents' conditions are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is not an easy dilemma to solve. I know that.
Rich, thank you as always for the phone call. I appreciate that. I'll start with Corey Johnson. We'll ask Pastor Mel to weigh in as well on that. They've organized this event. Pastor Mel, Corey, you want to respond to some of what you heard from Rich? Go ahead.
Well, the first thing, absolutely. You know, the lower age. You know, there are things that a lot of young adults are dealing with in their homes that a lot of us don't even know about. And they're from elementary, you know, they're bringing stuff into school and there's traumas that they see on a regular basis. You know, and that's one of the things we have to start really focusing on, what some of these youth, some of these kids are seeing in their own homes. Mm-hmm. What they're seeing in their own neighborhoods, because they're carrying that stuff with them. They're carrying that hurt. They're carrying that pain, which gives them a form of aggression, a form mm-hmm. of, you know, no one cares about me. Mm-hmm. I'm upset with this and I'm angry with that. And that elementary youth mm-hmm. becomes a middle school student mm-hmm. who still has that anger that no one has even addressed.
Yeah.
And that middle school student becomes a high school young man who's given up hope across the board.
Yeah.
And those are things that we really, in the elementary level, and I completely agree that we need to start looking into. And we need to start looking at some things that these kids are experiencing and dealing with at home.
Right.
Do I have the answer on how to do that? I right now I don't. Mm-hmm. But it's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I think... you know, I can't think of the quote verbatim, but it goes to something like this. You know, it's easier to pretty much raise a whole man than to fix a broken man.
I think that's a Frederick Douglass quote.
Frederick Douglass quote. Yeah. Yeah. And so we put most of our resources in fixing broken people. If we could figure a way out to catch them before they're broken. The beginning of my education career, I was a first and second grade teacher. So I see them early in the dysfunction that they're displaying early and try to catch them before that becomes their norm. One thing that we're realizing is dysfunction is a lot of people's norm. So when they see wholeness is foreign to them because dysfunction has become their norm. And so one way that, and this is just conjecture right now, and I think we're all trying to figure this out together, one way that we can even push the age down to 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old before their school age is to the community to really figure out a way to wrap around the brokenness of people where they see healthy role models. You know, growing up, we used to have TV shows that modeled healthy role models. Yes. We don't have that on TV anymore. Everything is broken on TV. You know, they're twerking, they're, you know, making it rain, all the crazy stuff. And that's become the norm for our society. And yes. So I think it's just really modeling something. If you can see it, that gives you the notion that you can be it. If it's put in front of you, that lets you know that it is possible. So I think it's just, it's probably simpler than we're making it. If we can just put these healthy images, these healthy role models, if we can reimagine what wholeness looks like for our children, our babies, our boys, our girls, that can be one method and one model that can promote wholeness throughout our society. So we won't be putting so much resource into fixing broken people. Because we started at an early age. Yes. Once again, I said, I'm pretty sure we're all trying to figure this out. But I think healthy role models play a huge role in it.
Yes.
All right, let me turn to Jose Melendez, who's an eighth grade student at Leadership Academy for Young Men. And been through a lot in your life. You're how old are you, 13, 14?
14.
14 years old. You've been through a lot in your life already, as I understand it. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your story, Jose, and then we'll talk about your views on mentorship.
Well, 6 years ago, my aunt died, and that impacted me a lot because, you know, she was always a positive role in my life. And she would always want me to do better. Like, if I had an A, she would, like, be proud. But she would just tell me, strive for that A+, you know, stuff like that.
She was tough.
Yeah, a little bit. But
but loving.
She just wanted me to be better than what she was. My mom and dad, too.
And when you lost her 6 years ago, you were only 8 years old. But how did that impact you?
That impacted me because, like, I wanted to do better because she didn't finish high school, but she just always wanted me to do better. And so.
It's okay. You're doing great. So she, as loving and focused on your grades as she was, she never finished school herself?
Nope.
Did she talk about that with you?
Yeah.
What did you think about her life and then you thought about what was in front of you for your own life?
I just want. Can you repeat that?
Well, I mean, when you thought about her not finishing school, and you thought about the opportunity you were going to have, I mean, you're going to go to school with some people who don't finish, and you'll go to school with some people who do. How did you think about what you wanted for yourself, especially knowing that your aunt, who you were so close to, didn't finish?
I just wanted to do better than her and show her, like, that I did this, and I did it for you, did it for myself, did it for my mom, did it for my dad.
And how's school going now?
School is going great. I always have a positive attitude in school, and that reflects. Always paying attention, that reflects. Because when you get that report card, you see.
Yeah, and go ahead, Rashad. I know you want to jump in.
Yeah, Evan, one of the things that I really admire about Jose is that when we spoke and, you know, we talked about this interview and trying to really understand, you know, what it's about and how it might impact him or bring up feelings, you know, he shared with me, you know, this is something that my aunt would be proud of. And every day that I wake up, I think about how I can make her proud. And it just spoke to me about the symposium. Because we will connect young people with mentors, with role models who they will say, you know, dead or alive, they will say, when I wake up in the morning, I want to be able to call my mentor or I want to be able to look in the sky and say, this is for you. And so, you know, for me, for Corey, for Pastor Mel, it was important to have him a part of this conversation because going back to what we talked about, resiliency, he is the epitome of that. And, you know, we want our young men to know that your situation might be similar to Naz's or Jose's, but this is what you can do to overcome it.
Rashad, what do you make of the importance of ongoing mentorship? I mean, as you say, for people like Jose, he's lost an aunt. She's an important figure in his life. He is still striving because of that relationship he has, even though she's gone now. But do we need to see more people step forward and say, I've got the time in my life, or I will make the time in my life to become a regular mentor?
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting things to me about mentorship is that people have formalized it so much. You have to commit to 16 workshops, 32 hours. You have to go to this program. You have to have this. Mentorship can be very informal. And for me, I experienced that in high school. And this is how I connect with Jose. Right before going off to college, I had a mentor in high school. He was my teacher. He was also my advisor for extracurricular activity. And that summer, I graduated in June, and in August, several days before my birthday, actually, my mentor, someone who I looked up to, was killed in a car accident. And so I went to an entire different state, Charlotte, North Carolina, preparing to become successful, preparing to display those skills that my mentor demonstrated to me. And like Jose, you know, there were plenty of nights where I looked up in the sky and I said, thank you. Thank you for being able to take me to get something, grab a bite to eat. Thank you for going out for milkshakes. Thank you for attending a church event. You know, something that was not formal, something that the mentor enjoyed doing and just wanted to bring someone along. So for me, mentorship is very informal. And I think once we can educate our community on how informal and not a huge commitment it is, but it's just a part of life, I think more people will start saying, let us become mentors. And that's what we're hoping that happens from this conversation with our men in the community.
That is such an important point, because when you look at the stats of that they have here from the Corporation for National and Community Service, it's a lot of people who want to do it but feel like, like you said, well, I guess I got to commit to this training, this workshop, this amount of time, this many days a week, this many hours.
Right.
What if something comes up with my own kids and mm-hmm. I can't go? What if I'm going to let somebody down? And therefore, they don't do anything.
Yeah.
And what you're saying, it sort of pushes people out and breaking down the formality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good mentorship can be planning a party for your children and inviting the person you're mentoring. You know, so it's as simple as that.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. So like Rashad was saying, mentorship can be informal and very subtle. You know, something that made me manifest my pain growing up into spiritual prosperity really was like my inclusion in extracurricular activities. Like, for example, one of my teachers, you know, though it wasn't formal as in like, I'm your mentor, you have to do this. You know, some things that you take home and you think about and like things that can shape you into a better person. So like going off of the conversation we were having earlier about making the mentorship, like trying to get mentorship as early as possible and like in age, I definitely think my inclusion in those activities after school were very important. So that's why I really think the event that's happening 2 weeks from now will be very important for young men.
That's a good point. It makes me just think about, you know, young people growing up in, you know, the neighborhood where I live, or, you know, people connected to my friends or family. It doesn't have to be some sort of a formal thing where I show up on a Thursday and from 5 to 8, we're going to hang out. And, you know, that's interesting. I mean, by the way, nothing against that kind of program. I mean, that kind of structure can be great. But I think Rashad's making a really important point about what barriers do to participation and people just working with young people, because they feel like if it's not codified and it's not, you know, in some way, well, then I can't do it. And that's really important.
And that's the great thing about Rock City 48. That 48 means from 9th through 12th grade, which equals 48 months, 1 hour a month. Doesn't have to be anything specific. It just you spending time talking to that young adult. It could be a phone conversation. It could, you know, I'm just going to show up at your basketball game, or I'll come play basketball at your rec center. So it can be very, very simplistic.
Yeah, very informal.
Yes.
I remember my father, I grew up with both my parents, and I would have friends over all the time. And it was something as simple as my best friend is coming over for dinner. Just seeing, you know, how we interact with one another. It could be something as, like I said, as simple as showing up to a game or going to the park or coming to a family outing. So it doesn't require any extra planning. I call it lifestyle mentorship.
Yes.
We're just integrating you into our lifestyle. You know, if I know somebody wants to be a public speaker, oh, right, well, I'm going to be speaking at this event. Come on and sit in and see how it happens.
Absolutely.
Or come sit, take some time with me while I'm preparing a speech and show you how it works. So they are being integrated into what I'm already doing with my life.
Jose, before the hour is up, let me just ask you if you've thought about what you want to do. I mean, obviously, we've talked to Nas about his future, but Nas is a little older, and he's sort of on the cusp of making a big change. For you, as an eighth grade student, what do you want? What do you want for yourself?
I want to see myself succeed, and I want to make my mom, dad proud, and my aunt too.
And what does that look like? Any idea specifically yet?
Diploma. College diploma.
Diploma. College diploma.
Yeah.
For your degree.
Pastor Mel's got a big smile on his face for that. He could be in a toothpaste commercial smiling at you, what you just said there. Well, good luck to you. And let me also tell the audience that Saturday, May 5th, again, it is free for young men. It's 9 to 3 is the event.
Yes.
In a moment, we'll get all the contact information. But if you look at just some of the Young Men Symposium workshop offerings, let me just read some of these headings, and I'll ask the guys here to kind of explain just a little bit more in the next couple of minutes. Character development, self-discipline and consequences, responsible fatherhood, filling the gap of fatherlessness, elements of manhood and gentleman code, and coping with loss. I mean, those are all subjects we've sort of directly or indirectly already talked about with everyone at this table. But, you know, Corey, what's on that list that stands out to you that you're really excited to get young men thinking about and working on?
For me, there's a couple. One that actually Pastor Melvin is doing, being a man of faith. There are a lot of young men that I sit with on a regular, and we have these discussions about faith, about the things they go through. Is God real? Mm-hmm. What does that look like to me? What does that look like to you, Mr. Johnson? And another one that's huge for me is filling the gap of fatherlessness. We have our young men, like Nazmir said, he grew up in a house without his father.
I thought maybe Nas was teaching that one.
Nas should be teaching one.
The way he just put everything out there, he should be. But that particular workshop, I mean, does it define you as a man? If your father isn't there, if your mother or grandmother or aunt are wearing dual hats, which a lot of single parents do, they wear multiple hats. And really understanding what that means. You know what? I didn't grow up in a household without my father, but does that mean I'm less of a man? Can I really be a man? Who's teaching me to be a man? So that for me is huge.
Yeah, so Corey, you know, I've been registering young men back to back for the symposium, and they look at the workshops and they say, you know, this is the type of curriculum that we need in school. Because Some of them will say, you know, science, I don't want to be a scientist. But what's important to me is how I budget and manage my money. And so they look at the Money Matters workshop, which is very, very popular. Everybody's been selecting this workshop. Yes. But it's our hope that you need to understand what that means. What does Money Matters mean? Yes, I have to make the money. So what are the steps to do that? And then I need to be able to manage it.
Yes.
And so not only what the symposium is doing, it's introducing a new way of educating young men as well. Not the normal type of education, type of program that they're used to, but really some information that will help them tomorrow.
Yes.
I didn't even mention all of the different workshops, because there are so many interesting ones. As you mentioned, Money Matters, Respecting Women, History of Who You Are, Employment, My Destiny, all different workshop possibilities. And if you want to sign up, Corey Johnson, founder of Rock City 48, tell the audience you want them to register in advance. It's free for young men starting at age 13, but how do they register?
You can register by going to www.rockcity48.com. Again, www.rockcity48.com to register your young man, or you can call us at 585-420-8569.
Do the number again.
585-420-8569.
All right. That's two Saturdays from now for this symposium, and I want to thank all of our guests for being here. The two students here who are just so impressive, Nasmir Johnson, senior at School of the Arts, thank you for sharing your story, and congratulations on all the success already and to your future as well. Thank you, Nasmir.
Thank you.
Our thanks as well to Jose Melendez. Jose, making your family proud, and we really appreciate you taking the time to join us as well this hour. Thank you. And to the folks who've been here helping us understand what's coming up and really leading the way in our community, sending such good, strong messages. Corey Johnson, founder of Rock City 48. Thank you, Corey.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Good to have you. Pastor Mel, great having you. Pastor at Glory House International.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure being here.
Always good.
Appreciate
and it. Rashad Smith, welcome back to the program. Great to have you here. Nice to see you. And we'll talk to you again, I know.
Yeah, it's always good to be here. Thank you so much for engaging in this type of dialogue, as always.
You got it. Thanks, everyone. All right, short break. More connections coming up.